You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw,
who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Crush it.
All right. So this is Steli and Heaton. Welcome to the podcast. Again, still remote. I'm in Berlin. Heaton is in California. And I just asked you, Heaton, what do you want to talk about? And he said, sales. Are you ready? And that's how we started the recording, with me saying I'm born ready. So what do you want to talk about exactly on sales, Heaton?
Sure. So when we were at a conference together recently called MicroConf, and it might not have been recently by the time you hear this, basically I got to see Steli in full effect. I mean, I've hung around him before, read some of his blog posts, I read his tweets, and even like heard what other people say to him. But like at the conference, it really became very clear that Steli is the modern salesman. And what I mean by that is he's somebody who you don't just hang out with because you have to, right? If you're trying to buy from him, let's say, or, you know, whatever, but you actually would hang out with him because it would be fun to have a beer with him. And he doesn't just talk about sales or act salesy all the time. But yet when you, I'm sure when you're buying from him, he's very, very clear and gets it done. So, you know, just in general, most salespeople I just can't hang around with. And even if I could hang around with them, it means they're not that good at it. And so I wanted to just talk about like how you think about sales today. And the reason for that is I know there's a lot of folks out there doing B2B SaaS sales that, you know, running B2B SaaS companies that are not doing sales. I know there's also a lot of folks out there that are reading content about sales from a lot of these folks that are already out there, but that aren't selling today. And I know you don't just talk about sales. You are selling today, every day, and you're teaching other people how to sell today in these modern times. And I cannot think of anyone else that's doing that and giving advice. And I really believe that people who are operators and practitioners are the best at teaching if they can afford the time or see the value in it. And so that's my sort of a little bit of a rant, which is like most salespeople are bullshit. And most salespeople have old advice if they're trying to give you advice. So I want to hear what you got. Like, what would you tell someone that's never done sales about sales? Let's start there.
That's awesome. And you know what? One comment before we jump right into it. It's so interesting that you're bringing this up right now. We really didn't know. We don't, by the way, just as a side note on the podcast, we don't really in depth discuss what we're going to discuss. We just pick a topic and then we go record. Like, so we don't really know what the structure of the podcast is going to be. So I didn't know what you wanted to talk about in sales, but it's interesting that you bring up this thing because over the last few weeks, we have internally been discussing this, and I'm writing a blog post on this, on like our flavor of sales. So it started with like, you know, my co-founder asking me, who is our salesperson? Like, what are we looking for? What is even good in sales when it comes to us? Because we're so different in the way we think about sales. And my answer was like, we're looking for the unicorn salesperson or the full stack salesperson, if you want to use two highly startup-ish terms. both the unicorn and the full stack. I figured out a way to use both.
We call those buzzwords.
No, don't say that. That's not true. Yes. So what do I mean by that? So the way that I think about sales is that, you know, I'm looking for a well-rounded human being that's both empathetic, that is empathy, somebody that cares truly about other human beings and wants them to succeed and wants them to help them and wants to understand others before he makes himself understood, like just cares about truly understanding the other side of the table. But then at the same time is someone that is competitive and wants to win and has strength and has clarity. And once he or she decided that prospect should be a customer and should be a buyer and is truly a qualified and good fit for the solution you have to offer, then they don't fuck around anymore. And then they tell you what to do. And they come at you with clarity, with power, with direction. And they go for the close and they follow up and they make it happen. They champion the close and they're not like wishy-washy about it. You know, there's many, and we can talk about this, there's many ways to express this idea, but this is really truly the way I think about it is like, You know, another model of talking about that or expressing what kind of person I'm looking for is the model that I call, you're looking for people that have friendly strength, right? If you think of some psychological model, I don't know where I read this many years ago, but if you think about the model of like some people have hostile, you have hostile strength, it's a quadrant, right? And you have hostile strength and hostile weakness, and then you have, you know, friendly strength and friendly weakness. And most people's model of salespeople is that of somebody that has hostile strength. Someone that's out there to kill everyone, right? Kill the competition, kill the customer, goes and just, you know, somebody that's out there to just kill everyone and get all the money from people. Has that level of like aggressiveness, but not necessarily an aggressive, like, but an aggressiveness that comes from a very selfish place and a hostile place. And those are like the Wolf of Wall Street type of people that we're all thinking of. Like, and many of them are successful in the sense that they're making lots of money, but in certain industries, but they could never be successful in startups or not as successful in startups because this is a place where your name and brand matters and the customers being successful matters and many, many other things. So you can't just go sell and then run to the next customer and don't care about, you know, the reputational burning ground. So hostile strength is, I think, what most people think of salespeople, like really aggressive, selfish, elbow, you know, out kind of personalities. And then the other extreme to that is friendly weakness, like the whatever, the artsy teacher that's like always out there to be like really speaking really softly, always just offering information and being like apologetic about the existence. And weirdly enough, we mistreat these people. Instead of them being the most popular human beings on the planet, it's because they're expressing weakness, we take advantage of them and we treat them badly. So both these models don't really, I think, work for the modern salesperson. And the model that I like to use is the one of friendly strength, which means I'm friendly because I'm out there to help people, to create value, to make the world a better place, to make others successful. So I come from a loving, friendly place, but I do have strength. You know, so I'm not wishy-washy, I'm not weak about it. And one good example, and this is interesting because we're both fathers, we both have children, The best model I can think of somebody who expresses friendly strength is a good parent. So a good parent is someone that is not like weak and allows their children to do whatever the hell they want, right? Sure, stick this knife into your head, you know, if that's the way you feel right now. Like, they're not that, they're not weak because those are bad parents, but they're also not hostile, obviously, right? Because hopefully you love your child and you come from a good place. So your child is like acting all crazy. You tell your child, you know, I love you. I know you're tired and you're hungry, but now is, you know, that's the time for us to go to bed. So we're going to put on the pajamas. We're going to read the story and then we're going to, you know, the day's going to end and daddy loves you, but this is how it's going to go down right now. And then the child might scream and do anything because it's like overly tired. You ignore that. You're not having a debate or negotiation about it. Right, you just start putting on the pajamas, changing the diapers, and the child still screams. And at some point, the child, in my experience, my son, at some point just goes, oh, fuck it. I guess he knows what he's doing. He just like gives in on it because I have more clarity and direction in the interaction than he has, right? So at some point, he just goes, all right, fuck it. All right, well, I'll stop screaming. I'll just do what you tell me to do. And I think that at the end of the day, great salespeople are the same way, and the way that they come with love and they want the best for you. But once they are convinced that you should be a customer, they're not fucking around. They're not having even a debate about this, right? They're just telling you what to do. They're like, all right, we're going to put on your pajamas, then we're going to sign up for the business plan, and then we're going to get you guys on board in the next 5 days. Let's do this right now. What's your credit card number, right? And it comes with strength, but it came from a loving place. I don't know. I was rambling on because obviously I have a lot to say about it, but that's kind of some of my thoughts around this.
Yeah. The reason I like that is because this whole coming from strength and also being a friendly person is that it feels like anyone can do that. Or it feels like at least more people than less people can do that. Well, when you think about the way most people think about sales and these scripts and these closes and, you know, like, this whole process and methodology, like it just doesn't, honestly, it doesn't feel human to me. It feels like the salesperson or the person on the other side, if I'm buying from you, knows something I don't know.
Yeah.
And like, is trying to like, I don't mean like dupe me, but basically dupe me into buying their crap.
Yeah.
You know, even with the cold emails I get, like most of them are so sorry. Like I get a lot of them. I probably get more cold emails every day than I get regular emails. And like, I'm like, I honestly, here's the ironic thing. The ones I have actually responded to have turned into something. Like
that's awesome.
Some of my best like companies I work with or whatever. While the ones that I haven't, like I have no idea, but I don't plan on responding to them. They might be great things. And the funny thing is like that it just doesn't make me feel great of even getting these emails and getting these cold emails. And most of them are not contextual. They have all these weird things in them, like these weird words and these things like as if they already know me and they don't, you know?
Yeah. I think that a big part of that is that I think in the old school of sales and sales education and training and sales books and workshop and all that, I think that, I don't know the really, really old stuff, but like the stuff that happened especially and specifically in the 80s and 90s, I feel, was all about like tactics, rhetoric, hacks to get somebody, to push somebody into submission on your and whatever you want them to do. Tricking people almost like the whole shit with like yes streets, right? So this is an interesting one. Like the whole thing of like you should create a yes street or bridge. Like you should make people say yes a lot because then their tendency is to keep saying yes. So you'll be like, you know, stupid things like, oh, do you like the nice weather in California? Yes. Do you like this? Yes. Do you want to be successful? Yes. Buy our product? Yes. Right? Stupid shit like that. Where there's some basic truth to this. And it's good to know because if you ask somebody 10 things and they say no 10 times in a row, you might not want to ask a really important question after. Yeah. You might want to break that flow first, right? Take a That's step right. back before you ask them the buying question.
But it's not a generic rule.
But it's not a generic rule. And also, you have to ask yourself, are you going to move? Are you going to leave this town, you know, to a new town that you can trickster new people into buying your shit? Because the point with all these tactics is they always generate buyer's remorse. Like they always, even if you trick me into saying yes and signing something, immediately after I'll feel bad about my decision.
Right.
So immediately after I'll start rethinking this and trying to figure out a way to get out of it again. So this works if you live like in the old school days where you could move town to town and trick people and get their money and just move.